people may not be prepared to stand in the day of the Lord. In 1844, our great high priest entered the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary to begin the work of the investigative judgment. The cases of the righteous dead have been passing in review before God. When that work shall be completed, judgment is to be pronounced upon the living. How precious, how important are these solemn moments. Each of us has a case pending in the court of heaven. We are individually to be judged according to the deeds done in the body. In the typical service, when the work of atonement was performed by the high priest in the most holy place of the earthly sanctuary, the people were required to afflict their souls before God and confess their sins that they might be atoned for and blotted out. Will any less be required of us in this antitypical day of atonement when Christ in the sanctuary above is pleading on behalf of his people and the final irrevocable decision is to be pronounced upon every case? What is our condition in this fearful and solemn time? Alas, what pride is prevailing in the church, what hypocrisy, what deception, what love of dress, frivolity and amusement, what desire for supremacy. All these sins have clouded the mind so that eternal things have not been discerned. Shall we not search the Scriptures that we not might know where we are in this world's history? Shall we not become intelligent in regard to the work that is being accomplished for us at this time and that the position that we as sinners should occupy while this work of atonement is going forward? If we have any regard for our soul's salvation, we must make a decided change. We must seek the Lord with true penitence. We must, with deep contrition of soul, confess our sins that they may be blotted out. We must no longer remain upon enchanted ground. We are fast approaching the close of our probation. Let every soul inquire, how do I stand before God? We know not how soon our names may be taken into the lips of Christ and our cases be finally decided. What, oh, what will be these decisions be? Shall we be counted with the righteous or shall we be numbered with the wicked? Let the church arise and repent of her backslidings before God. Let the watchman awake and give the trumpet a certain sound. It is a definite warning that we have to proclaim. God commands his servants, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. The attention of the people must be gained. Unless this can be done, all effort is useless. Though an angel from heaven should come down and speak to them, his words would do no more good than if he were speaking into the cold ear of death. The church must arouse to action. The Spirit of God can never come in until she prepares the way. There should be earnest searching of heart. There should be united, persevering prayer and through faith a claiming of the promises of God. There should be not a clothing of the body with sackcloth as in ancient times, but a deep humiliation of soul. We have not the first reason for self-congratulation and self-exaltation. We should humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. He will appear to comfort and bless the true seekers. The work